Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to my show, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're going to lead into, you know, we were talking about, we're taping a show today. This is Friday, July 5th. Our show would normally be on, and this will be aired, Matt, on July 7th from 10 to noon. So if you're listening to this, you're going to be, we're putting a couple of things on that are basically dateless. They're just great interviews. And Michael Kadire is a guy that not a lot of people know because he spent several years with the Minnesota Twins. He was drafted out of high school in the first round. I want to say was the sixth pick out of high school, Great Bridge High School in Chesapeake, Virginia, down near Virginia Beach. And Michael was the first of several really, really good ball players to come out of the Virginia Beach area and the Chesapeake area. The Upton brothers are two of them, and several other guys, Ryan Zimmerman. So we're going to play this interview. Now, I did this interview in one of their media rooms, and it was hilarious. It's a big, beautiful room with all kinds of equipment. Anyway, I was in this media room doing the interview in a beautiful complex. And, I'd hung out in the clubhouse for a while. I met Todd Helton, who big-leagued me. I don't like him much. It's not important that I like him. He went to Tennessee where my son went his freshman year, you know, and thought I'd give him a compliment, and he basically acted like, yeah, I know I'm great, and walked away. But when I got with Cuddy, Michael Kadire's nickname is Cuddy, like Cuddy Bear, a cuddly bear. When I started talking to Cuddy, he just took over the interview and did a great job. I mean, he's a wonderful guy. He's 34 years old. He's been playing baseball professionally for 16 years. That is unbelievable. And like I said, he started out with the Minnesota Twins, stayed with them for a long time, but people in Minnesota get lost, went to Colorado. Unless Colorado is challenging for a division championship, nobody really knows much about Colorado, except it's easy to hit home runs there because of the altitude. But anyway, Michael, this is a great interview. And when I say great, he made it great. I just happened to ask the questions. Here it is. This is Bruce Hall with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. And I'm sitting in, what do they call this? Talking stick?
Yep.
Talking stick fields. I'm actually in a beautiful facility that the Colorado Rockies share with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I'm talking to a kid from Chesapeake, Virginia. And I can call him a kid because I'm 59 years old and old enough to be his dad. Michael Kadire. Michael, it's great to have you.
Well, thanks for having me on the show.
I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about your background, you know, how you got started in baseball. You come from an area where at the time you were the first guy really to break out of a pretty good group of kids from Chesapeake, Virginia Beach. I was lucky enough to see them. See you guys send off the Grassfields High School field when you guys had that home run hitting contest. And that was like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Had to be. It was a while ago. I'll never forget because Ryan Zimmerman hurt his wrist that time, and he ended up having to get a hamate bone taken out or something. I think it was bothering him anyway. But listen, you're playing for Colorado now. You're in your second year of a three-year deal here. Tell me a little bit about what you see yourself doing for this ball club.
Well, I mean, pretty much the same thing I did in Minnesota, and that's, you know, play right field, come in, first base here and there. But, you know, play the game hard and do what the manager asks of me. That's pretty much been my MO my whole career. So that's what we're going to keep doing.
That's awesome. Now, I know that you were drafted by the Minnesota Twins. Minnesota has a little bit different way they draft. People that know a little bit about baseball know that they're kind of in a secondary market. They really don't go out there. What round did you go in when you got drafted?
I was a first-round pick. I was the ninth pick in the draft way back in 97. So it's my 16th year of pro ball.
That's unbelievable. When I look at your face, you look like you're about 25 years old.
Yep, and bits and pieces of the big leagues, 12 years, 10 full years I've got in. So been around a little bit. See, that's when you look at my face, you look at my hair, then you can definitely tell with the grays that I got. So, Yeah, Minnesota drafted me in the first round. Played four full seasons in the minor leagues. Got a September call-up in 2001. Then I was up and down 02 and 03 and 04 from then on out.
Yeah. Now, the thing about you that at least I remember you the most of it from in the last 7 or 8 years was you can play just about any position. In Minnesota, I remember seeing you playing second base, third base, first base, and all two corner outfield positions. And of course, in the American League, you can DH if something's bothering you, you just need a stick in there. Where do you prefer to play, Michael?
Oh, it doesn't matter to me. You know,
that's the perfect answer for a general manager or a coach.
And it really doesn't. You know, like you said, I've got a start in the big leagues, every position but pitcher, catcher, and short. And I've played short. I've pitched an inning. So the only position I haven't played at a big league level is catch. And
you look like a catcher though.
When they ask me to do that, that's when I take it to the house. I'm done. So it just adds to the being able to give the manager options. That's all that I'm there trying to do is give us the best chance to win day in and day out. And whether it's me playing first or second or third or outfield, wherever the manager feels like the best lineup that particular day is, that's where I'm willing to go out there and play.
Well, when you were in Minnesota, you guys were known for scoring some runs. You had some really good players on that team. Pitching was always a little bit of a problem. But you had 2 or 3 years there in Minnesota where you guys made the playoffs and you played really well. Now you're in the National League. There's no more DHs. The pitching's a little bit different. I've got a good friend that I've known since Little League. We were on the same Little League baseball team, on the same All-Star team. And I've become a National League guy, and, of course, you've had to, too. Tell me this. What is the difference do you see in the two games? Because they are two different games. The American League is a little bit different than the National League. What do you notice the most about the two differences?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely a different game. You know, having the pitcher hit is a totally different dynamic. And, I think there's a little more manager strategy, whether you double switch or pitch to this guy, pitch to this guy, walk the 8-hole hitter to pitch to the pitcher, pinch hitting, things of that nature. But I think in the American League, it's a little more strategy, a mano, so to speak. You know, there's no pitching around a lineup in the American League. You know, if I walk this guy, I got the pitcher coming up or the 8-hole hitter coming up, and then the pitcher to follow. So you got to figure out how to get that particular guy out at that moment. To whereas in the National League, you can navigate a lineup a little easier. You know, whether it be walk the 8-hole hitter or the 7-hole hitter up, that's the guy you want to get out, and then you can get, walk the next two or things of that nature. You can pitch around guys and navigate a lineup. And it's more on the manager's shoulders than it is in the American League.
So listen, in the National League, obviously you played 1 year in the National League. I know it's tough first time you see the pitchers in a league. What kind of changes? Now, I remember last year at the All-Star break, you were knocking the crap out of the ball. I mean, you were having a super season. How did you settle in not even knowing who a lot of those pitchers were?
Well, with Interleague, you face quite a few pitchers here and there. And with Minnesota, my last year in Minnesota, we actually played the National League West in Interleague. So I had the prior year to kind of go on as far as our division's concerned. And, spring trainings, you face the National League team. So it's not as big a difference as you would think. But there are times when you haven't faced guys, especially bullpen guys. That's the big thing is bullpen guys when you only get one at-bat against them a night. As compared to the starter, you're getting 2-3 at-bats against them that day, you can kind of be able to build off those at-bats. So, a lot of scouting reports, you ask guys what they got, what they see, but until you step in the box and see for yourself, it's an adjustment period, a learning period. And that was, I think, the toughest thing for me last year was going through that, not knowing a guy's out-pitch, not knowing what he liked to do when he gets ahead in the count and things like that, what's his go-to pitch. Those are the things where my batting average suffered a little bit, but I was still able to produce with my extra base hits and runs and RBIs and things of that nature until I got hurt.
Except for Todd Helton, who's your teammate and who's still showing up and at the age of 40 playing first base. And when my son was in Tennessee, I mean, they got a daggone street named after the guy. Probably not a lot. You got a lot of youth in this organization, so you probably didn't have too many guys to go to find out except your hitting coach. Who's your hitting coach here in Colorado?
This year it's Dante Bichette, who this is his first year. And Carney Lansford was our hitting coach last year. And Dante's a guy who's obviously familiar with playing at altitude, playing in Coors Field, and, you know, the dynamic that we have playing up there. But, you know, he's a guy that drove in 120 runs every single year, and a guy that we can learn from and get his mental approach and the way he handled big situations like that.
In Colorado, you mentioned that. The air's a little thinner. You're a mile high. Did you notice a big difference when you first got out there?
Yeah, you notice in-game difference. You know, anybody that's spent, you know, a day in Colorado and you try and go running or, you know, walking briskly or something, you're going to get out of breath a little quicker than you would normally. So, yeah, you deal with that during the game. But, you know, other than that, I didn't feel any lingering effects. You know, like some people say, it's tougher to get out of bed or you feel a little sluggish here and there. You know, your skin gets dried out a lot quicker and you have to recover a little quicker on the base pass. But other than that, that's about all I noticed.
Now, listen, you guys also have a special deal with the balls up there, right? Yeah, you got a humidor up there where you put the balls in to keep them from, you know, I guess what it's to do is to keep the balls from getting too, quote unquote, hot, meaning that they won't fly out of there. I know, because I can tell you right now, we had some diamonds last year in the summer league that I coach in for college players, which I'm sure you never went to college, so you didn't have to worry about it. But, and we'll talk about that at the end of the thing, because I want to find out what's going on with you. But the thing that is that it was working pretty good there for a while because you could see that the numbers were down. Then all of a sudden, I swear, there was like a month and a half last year when it looked like the old Colorado Rockies numbers. Tell me what you thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, the humidor is there to keep the balls from drying out and become like bricks.
Rocks.
Where they would just fly. So, yeah, the moisture's there, and, you know, I never hit without the humidor, so I don't know the differences.
Right.
But, you know, the ball definitely is still a great hitter's park. There's no question about that. I mean, it's a huge, enormous field that you can still hit home runs with.
It's like golf. It seems that the ball seems to stay in the air. I went to the All-Star game in 98 there, and the ball just seems to stay in the air longer.
It does. And as an outfielder, you gotta test for that. And you got to, you know, maybe your angles are a little deeper as compared to playing in San Diego or something at sea level.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but that makes a lot of sense. So tell me, last year you get injured like right after the All-Star break, right? What'd you do, pull a muscle? Was it an oblique or was it like a rib muscle?
Yeah, I ended up tweaking my oblique and then went on the DL 15 days, came back, went on a couple rehab games, came back, felt great, hit a home run my first game back, and then I believe it was my third game back or second game back, ended up tearing it, and was missed the rest of the year. So I ended up missing about 60 games.
I know that had to kill you because you want to be out there playing ball, right?
No doubt. It's never fun, especially the season that we were having. We were losing and couldn't do anything about it.
Now, listen, we go out of New York, my show, Michael, but, you know, you're from Chesapeake, Virginia. I'm not going to say Virginia Beach, but you got a lot of friends in Virginia Beach. A lot of good people have come out since you. You were like the first guy out of that class at Great Bridge High School. And then I can remember meeting a kid named Justin Upton there when he was 16, 17 years old, a close mutual friend of ours, mm-hmm. Carolyn Bernard. I'm going to say her name because she'll be listening to the show probably when I tell her that I interviewed you. She introduced me to him, but she, you know, but it was like, there's like eight guys that are in the major leagues, and most of them are all-star or all-star caliber. Who are those guys? I just want to hear real quickly their names out of your mouth, and I want to find out, you know, how that works out when you guys all get together.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of us. As you mentioned, I was, I guess, the first one. David Wright followed me, Ryan Zimmerman, B.J. Upton, Justin Upton, Daniel Hudson, Mark Reynolds. There's quite a few of us that play.
Mark had a great year last year. I actually got to see him play in Baltimore a little bit. And, he, you know, they moved him to first base. But, you know, he still swings from the shoes, man. I mean, if he'd keep his feet on the ground a little bit more often, I think he'd be better off. But I'll tell you what, he had a great year, and so did the Orioles. So you're from Great Bridge High School. You graduated there in what year? 1997. And you're married. Now, did you meet your wife in high school?
No, my wife actually is from Arlington, Virginia, up in Northern Virginia.
That's my hometown. I went to Wakefield High School.
She went to Washington and Lee.
My arch rivals.
Okay.
Del Norwood coached there. Do you know who Del Norwood was? Scott Norwood, the guy that missed the wide right, and that for the, that's his father, and he was one of the best baseball coaches I ever knew.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But anyway, so you met her, and she went to W&L?
She went to W&L, but went to Virginia Tech, and actually got a job at Hickory High School, which is Great Bridges, you know, kind of rival, so to speak.
It's a newer high school.
My senior year, my high school split up to make another high school, which was Hickory, which is where David Wright went to school. And she taught there, and, you know, my friends knew her friends. We all went out one night and met in 2003 and been together ever since.
That's fantastic. She must be – is she a teacher?
She was a teacher, and then once we got married, she stopped teaching to be with me. So,
Michael, I've seen your contract. She needs to be raising those kids of yours. Hey, let me tell you one thing. You know, I interview a lot of people. I talk to a lot of people, and, you know, I know a lot of people that know you. Everybody tells me the same thing, that you're – a great kid, and you really are. And I want to thank you so much. One last thing I want to ask you. How many more years does Michael Kadire have, do you think?
You know, I never really even thought about it. You know, I try and focus on every year as it comes. You know, right now we're in spring training, so I'm excited for 2013. And, you know, I have one more year left on my deal after this, so I'll be excited for 2014, and then we'll see how the chips fall.
I bet there's a lot of people out there that if the Rockies don't want you back, they'll be standing in line waiting for you. Tell me about your children. You got three kids now. And listen, when you have kids, I ain't got to tell you, it turns your life around. I was your age when I started raising a family, and I know what it's like, man. It literally is one of the greatest things that can happen to you. What are your kids' names?
I've got a 4.5-year-old boy named Casey, and I've got twin little girls that are 15 months old. Maddie and Chloe. So they're fun, man. It's a lot of fun.
Let me tell you one thing about your family. You got three kids, two girls and a boy. The boy, you'll be his hero until he gets to that age where he, you know what it's like? The two girls, buddy, you're the luckiest guy in the world because they'll take care of dad one day. Hey, Michael, thank you very much for the interview. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.